Dis-Chem reported its half-year numbers today, delivering revenue growth of 13.2% to 11.8 billion rand. Despite this, headline earnings per share came in 38.9% lower due to accounting irregularities and costs related to a months-long strike. Joining me on the line now with further detail is CFO Roy Morais. Thanks so much, Roy, for joining us today. So like I say, revenue up 13% over the period, but profit down 39%. So right at the top, talk us through the disconnect, where, of course, a big blow had been dealt by the strike action that started at the end of 2018.
Yes, we came across two strikes over the last two financial years, and those have had consequences on both our first half 20 number and our first half 19 number. So if you eliminate the effect of those two elements, I mean, there's obviously a more correlated trend between revenue and profitability.
What kind of normalization then are we looking at coming through on your expense line, and how soon?
So, I mean, it depends how long-term you're focused. I mean, one of the nice things that we delivered across this half year is if you eliminate all the once-off elements of the strike and the change in accounting policy, like IFRS 16, cost growth was below turnover growth, which is incredibly important considering the constrained consumer environment. Any business can deliver revenue growth, margin growth, and then cost growth coming in between those two, which gives you increased earnings, has done well, in our opinion. So I think that structurally the business is positioned to kind of carry on that journey, especially now with all of these once-off strike-related issues out of our numbers.
Okay. I ask because while we have strike-related costs, one thing, you've also been pushing through with acquisitions and expansion plans that see net finance costs increase by almost 21% to 202 million rand over this period. You've been leveraging off, of course, favorable financing, but are current debt levels comfortable given the broader economic context?
Yeah, I mean, our current debt levels are in very comfortable ranges relative to EBITDA, earnings before interest and tax. We've also done a huge stock rationalization post the strike. One of the things that we had to do was hold unnecessary, if you want to call it, inventory levels to ensure that across strike, stock levels to consumers weren't compromised, and therefore our revenue number wasn't compromised. With the strike out the way, we've unlocked about 780 million rands worth of stock, which translates into cash. And you should see the positive kind of financial leverage coming through our numbers next year. The stock drag on our financial expense number was really the reason for the increase in finance costs.
Okay, so what kind of capital commitments are you making then moving forward towards expansion? It doesn't look like, you're stepping on the brakes in any big way, because you've opened four shops since the start of September with seven more planned before the end of February 2020.
Yeah, from a capital deployment perspective, we look at it in three different buckets. We'll continue to grow retail space at around 20 stores a year. I appreciate the economic conditions are challenging, but at the same time, we find ourselves in a relatively resilient, consolidating industry, and it's important for us to increase space, increase our market share, specifically in the dispensary part of our business. And in addition to that, we spend around 100 million a year on IT or information technology across both retail and wholesale segments. I think as a retailer today, you have to be adaptive. You have to be in front of the pack when it comes to technology enhancements. Be it in accepting different types of tender, mm-hmm. be it in accepting or absorbing analytical functions which allow personalized promotions, for example. And then we'll have a movable piece, which really is a maintenance type piece that we deploy into our warehouse environments. Things like the small forklifts, etc.
Roy, what's your overall reading of the market you're catering to? Because prices at your store rose 2.3%, and that being below inflation, and evidence, I guess, of just how much pressure you are still under, and that even with the resilience of your business model having been proven.
Yeah, I mean, the market is a tough one. I think the reality is that consumers across all LSM profiles are challenged. Everyone is very value conscious, which is how we've tried to position the brand. But naturally, you know, you will see low levels of price inflation across retailing as people to try and take share. And then it becomes more and more difficult for us to grow volumes in our mature stores. So that's the challenge that the whole retail industry is faced with. And I guess cost containment becomes crucial. And it has to be a focus area for us.
How tricky is it going to be, very quickly before I let you go, keeping a handle on those costs with your expansion drive very much in play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, especially with a fast-growing business like ourselves. But we have, through the years, through the investment in technology, especially around labor cost management, you know, we've invested significantly in it, and, you know, we're well positioned, but it's certainly going to be a challenge to maintain or contain costs in mature space and then open new space.
Roy, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the CFO of Dis-Chem, Roy Morais.